thatgreatbusinessshow.com is brought to you by DeFacto Shaving Oil, the best anyone can get. Made in Ireland, sold worldwide.
Welcome to That Great Business Show, episode 33 of Ireland's best business podcast. I'm Conal O'Moran. In the next hour of business positivity, we bring you the United Kingdom. Yes, they may have left the EU, but they haven't gone away, you know, and they're looking for your business. And if you're a business based in Clare, Cork, Kerry, Limerick, Tipperary and Waterford, also known as Munster, or if you know people in business in Munster, we have €100,000 value prize to spread amongst five companies of any make, shape or size from there. And when it comes to trying to figure out what health insurance you need to have, we have a clever bit of kit that will bring 320 choices down to just three. And we're asking what the best deals are. That's all in a minute, but Emma McLean of McLean Cleaning Services, who was on episode 30, contacted me, as many others did, including accountant Neil Hughes of Baker Tilly from episode 11, to tell me how much they loved that fabulous golf prank from the Jim Jim and Nobby of FM 104's Strawberry Alarm Clock on episode 31. And if you haven't heard it and want to cry laughing, go for it. Episode 31. It's just at the very beginning of the podcast. As always, we ask you to follow us on our LinkedIn pages where you'll learn more about the show. You'll get our weekly sneak peek of what's coming up. And we have now added regular tips and insights gleaned from our great guests on That Great Business Show. And remember, your company or any company being on That Great Business Show is only possible because another great company, that's our super sponsor DeFacto, makers of the world's best shaving oil, support us. Support them by buying the best shaving oil anyone can get, DeFactoShave.com.
That Great Business Show.
Now, if you listen back to episode 32, you'll hear Pat O'Connor of the high-tech training company VRAI extol the virtues of Britain's North East as a base from which his company plans to conquer the UK market. What I learned from chatting to Pat and subsequent conversations is something very interesting. It appears that there are different incentives in different areas of the UK, all aimed at attracting your business to set up there. If you're thinking of starting your overseas business journey in what is probably the most logical place, the English speakers right next door to us, we felt that Team GBS, that's our listeners, should be fully informed about the who, the what and the where to base a business in Britain. So we asked Shirley McKay, Country Director, UK Department for International Trade at the British Embassy here, to join us on Ireland's Best Business Podcast, and she said yes. Welcome to That Great Business Show, Shirley.
Good afternoon, Conal. A pleasure to be here.
Well, we are joyful because we have an important person, Country Director, no less. That's important, isn't it?
It's a great privilege to be able to help UK and Ireland do more trade together. So I'm delighted to be able to tell you all about that today.
Good, because I think kind of COVID took the eye off the ball a bit, is that we forgot one about Brexit, but Brexit has happened, is not going away. So that's kind of the elephant in the room. However, Mr. Johnson, the Prime Minister of the UK, is mad keen to effectively decentralise. So in a way, and I'm sure you're for all of the UK, but you are here really to remind us that there is more to the UK than the Greater London region.
Indeed, Conal, the UK is a very rich tapestry of diverse places and people, naturally, as you'd expect in any big economy or any big country. And remember that the UK is the fifth largest economy in the world.
It is huge.
So it's, yes, a global player. And I think that's one of the basic points people sometimes forget, what is on Ireland's doorstep. There's 67 million people, soon to be a population of 70 million, 6 million businesses alone. And then every area of the UK, including Northern Ireland, Wales, Scotland, and then 39 sub-regions of England, all have something to offer Irish business.
And within those sub-regions, it becomes really interesting. Talk me through some examples of, anybody wants to hear the Pat O'Connor story, go back to previous one, episode 31. Really interesting why he wanted to be there. He has the North Sea wind farms. He has 5,000 graduates coming at him every year.
Mm-hmm.
There are financial incentives. There's this, that, and the other. The RAF is there that he deals with as well. Fantastic. So, other examples, please.
Let me take you on a virtual tour.
Very good.
As they say these days, Conal, of the UK. And that's probably a really good place to start, the north of England, or Northern Powerhouse, as it's often called. And there you've got three times as many people living in the north of England than there are in Ireland. So on its own, it's a massive market. Of course, most people know Manchester, but do you know it's the fastest growing digital city in Europe? Do you know that the NHS in the UK spends over 40% of its budget on digital services from the Leeds and Bradford region? Therefore, if you're a company in life sciences or healthcare, you might want to be thinking about locating in that area.
So just, I want to pick up on that one because I know companies who will be very interested in this.
Mm-hmm.
Do you, obviously, you can be based in Ireland and do business with the NHS.
Of course.
But it's going to be probably better, but there are no obligations. In the States, you have to have a location in the States if you want to do business with the government, okay? In Britain, you can do business without that, correct?
Yes, of course.
But what would the advantages be of going to Leeds Bradford?
For any company, you want to have boots on the ground, don't you? You want to get inside the system. You want to know people. You want to be there 24/7. And I think even in this world now where we're all contactable 24/7 and we're always online, at the same time, it's all about meeting people, developing relationships. And the big part of the business environment is about the ecosystem. So you want to be co-located or hanging out in the same places that you're going to meet other companies that are doing business in the area. Other companies that are part of the supply chain of the NHS, for example, or companies particularly that are innovating and looking for partners and wanting to bounce off each other.
So if my company went off, not that I have one of those ones, but if a medtech company went off to Leeds Bradford, what would you do for them?
Well, pretty much we are your best friend. We can help you, Conal, get set up there. We can help you find the best place to be, help you even down to details such as premises, how do you do your recruitment, are there any incentives available?
And what is the whole incentive thing? Because I know, and I mentioned it at the very beginning, it's very different no matter where you go.
Yes, it is. But for example, there are a huge range of grants and loans available right across the UK. But it's quite diverse and you do need to think about carefully where you want to be, what you're going to offer and what you need. So there's disruptive programmes for Irish companies that are coming in, going to change the world. We want to hear from you. And there's particular schemes, competitions, grants and loans that we can help offer you. If you go to any part of the UK, including the devolved administrations, Northern Ireland, Wales, Scotland and England, they all want to talk to you about what you have to offer. R&D is very important. Are you doing something new? Innovation is part of the UK's DNA. And if there's something that you've developed already in Ireland and you want to scale up and find the new market, of course, the UK is next door and wants to hear from you.
But and again, to cut across you there, because it really is an interesting area, the instead of, say, going, say I want to go to Scotland, instead of going talking to the Scottish government, if I talk directly to you and your department here in Dublin, I can get all of the information from you.
We're the front door, Conal. We do have the Scottish government, Welsh government also represented here in Dublin and Invest Northern Ireland too. So we can help connect you to those people directly. No problem in speaking to them directly. We, I guess, as the UK's Department for International Trade, we're like the mothership. So we have lots of children and we want them all to do well and we're happy to make the connections. And I guess that's a point that I also wanted to make. A big reason why you might want to come in through our door and what we can do for you on the ground is to help you to get to know the right people. We want to fast forward your business journey and we'll introduce you to people inside days of meeting you and deciding where they can best help you.
We do accentuate the positive on That Great Business Show. So I'm just going to twist it around a little bit and be negative and say, what do you not want to hear from? There must be people who knock on your door and say, oh God, not another one of those ones.
We find we can always turn it around to the positive, Conal, because the commonality between Ireland and the UK is so high. We all have friends and family, people have travelled, people. It's one marketplace in many ways, but so much similarity. But I guess we really want to hear about people that have got established ideas or that have got ideas that they think need to be scaled up quickly. We also want to hear from people that need to find a new product or service that perhaps can't find something in Ireland or another market. Don't forget about the UK. We also help you to import and export. So if you're looking for a new supplier, come to us. We're not just about helping you get to the UK. We're also helping you get goods and services from the UK.
Which I presume is what you really want. You're looking to get jobs into the UK and establish longer-term businesses. Would that be it?
That is part of it. But we're also about growing trade overall between our sixth largest partner at the moment, Ireland.
Which is another bizarre number, isn't it? Little Ireland.
There's so many positive numbers. There's a lot of numbers out there. And I guess some stick in people's mind, like, you know, 80 billion a euro a year in terms of the trading relationship. But what we really want is to help people grow and develop. When Irish businesses do well, so do the UK. And hopefully vice versa.
You may not have been prepped for this, but do you know any other fantastic companies, just that pop into your head, you say, this company came and they did such and such and now they're doing that or anything like that? Any of your favourites?
We work with huge companies in Ireland. We work with all the big agri-food firms such as Ornua, APB, Greencore, all clients of ours. We also work with some very small firms that scale up quickly. A couple of recent projects, Tiger's Childcare, we helped them open in the southeast and now much further afield.
That's Zip, very interesting.
Zip Mobility e-scooters working right across the UK.
We've had Zip here, yeah.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, that's so Charlie.
That is on Irish scale-ups. But then also, the other way around, we've worked with all the big transportation providers in Ireland, helping them buy goods and services. We've helped the Irish Health Service source from the UK. We have helped the renewable firms in Ireland find new suppliers in the UK too.
So if I need, say, a supplier, I can ring you up and say, listen, I need an XYZ and you'll have a ready reckoner ready for me and say, check these fellas out.
Yes, indeed. We will talk you through that, Conal. Make sure you know what you need, if you've any existing contacts. But if not, and you need us to do some market research for you, we will do that. We're all about innovation and it's all about finding something new and different and adding value. Of course, most Irish companies are very well capable and already do source or indeed invest in the UK directly. But if there's something that's niggling you, if you don't have time, our job is to unlock the UK for you so we can give you all the knowledge, the contacts and the opportunities that you're looking for.
And what is your relationship with Enterprise Ireland? Because in a sense, they're doing the exact same job except from this shore. Even though you're also on the show.
Do you know we're actually in the same ballpark for much of the day? Because Enterprise Ireland do a fantastic job.
And you hate them.
We love working with them. We've got many great friends and indeed initiatives that we work together. Because Enterprise Ireland really help you develop in Ireland, grow. They help you with your R&D. They invest in companies. And they also help you get to the UK. And they do still believe, as we do, that the UK is one of the most important markets for Irish companies. But when it gets to the UK, we really come into our own. Our speciality is the UK. So whilst others may talk about it and help you there, if you really want to get under the skin of what's happening, talk to us. Because I only got as far as I think the Northwest.
I'm loving this. Go on.
So apart from the NHS contacts that we can help you with and all our things going on in the north of England, we have the offshore wind cluster and renewables. Hull, for example, is a centre for smart cities and does many similar things in transportation and in helping diagnostics as how city centres should work better. When you look at sustainable packaging, graphene, a new material, was developed in Manchester and discovered there. Then you look at e-commerce, the largest market in Europe is around the Northwest. Moving on then to the Midlands, we've got the Centre for Connected and Autonomous Vehicles. So all those driverless cars that we're going to see sometime soon, Conal, well, that's all been developed around Coventry. You've also got centres of gaming, video games, a lot of immersive technology. It's a big centre for processing, food processing, and many Irish companies develop and expand there. And of course, it's a centre of advanced technology engineering. A lot of the big car firms are there, and indeed engine manufacturers. And then you get some random places that you might never have come across. And the couple that I have at the top of my head today are in Hertfordshire, for example. It's a centre.
Where's Hertfordshire now?
Hertfordshire is part of the southern counties, above London, between Midlands and London.
Okay.
Hertfordshire is a centre for cell and gene therapy, doing a lot in life sciences, particularly in immunology. And then you talk about Bath and Bristol's Centre for Robotics, a lot going on there. You talk about drone technology, Cornwall. I mean, that's so interesting. Who would think that's happening in Cornwall, where people go for their cream teas and often think about holidays? And then not forgetting at Wales, Centre for Compound Semiconductors, all about microchips. A lot going on in cybersecurity and indeed medtech. And Scotland, of course, very important for the renewable industry. And precision medicine is critical and a big centre of it in Scotland too. And Northern Ireland, just up the road, a centre for fintech, for cyber, and also a lot on advanced engineering. Not forgetting creativity and the film industry, because we all love Game of Thrones, don't we?
The most impressive part of that, Shirley, is there's not a note in your hand. That always in your head. I'm most impressed with people who just kind of, you obviously love your subject. Of all of the areas, what are the areas that are most attractive financially?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Where would a person be wise to be looking at?
We often get asked that question, and there isn't a one word answer, because it does depend on how your business is developing and where you want it to go. Now, of course, there are generous tax incentives, tax credits, entrepreneurship schemes for companies in all parts of the UK, Conal. But if you're asking me particularly about grants or loans like that, it does differ depending on Scotland, Wales, Northern Ireland. I do know, for example, at the moment in the Northwest that there are grants for building fit out and premises of up to 100,000, as one example. I do know that across the UK, if you want to take on another apprentice, there's support for up to £3,000 per individual. And I do know that there's some game-changing, disruptive funds available, particularly around net zero, because it's all about saving the planet right now, of course, and it's all about helping the UK become as quickly adapting to that challenge as possible. So there's no one-word answer, but there will be something for you, no matter what sector you're in or what size of your company.
If you get 1,000 queries following on from this podcast, can you handle them all?
We do our best. We are the front door, as they say. In Dublin, we are a team of 10. I've got 10 fantastic people in the team. But behind us, there's a team of 3,500 working to help connect us to all our opportunities and people in the UK.
That's pretty nice. So anybody who wants to contact the first 10 will find you down at the British Embassy on Merrion Road. Yeah?
Correct.
Okay. You have to finish on one last question, which is, who would you hire in a heartbeat for your team?
I think that's a very simple one, especially after last week, Conal, because Pat O'Connor is on my list.
Is he?
From VRAI. And indeed his colleague and co-founder, Niall Campion, because they sell the UK so well. They talk about the experience, familiarity, and indeed all the positive things that they talked about last week. Hopefully that is the experience of many companies that equally you will talk to in the future.
Well, I must say it was, and it kind of came out of that, it was just so, so interesting. And we kind of do forget that there is this huge, big market next door, because I don't know why, but I mean, obviously we do a massive trade with it, so not everybody has forgotten, but maybe we should concentrate on it again.
Yes, take another look and lift the lid. There's so much more to discover.
Shirley, thank you so much for joining us on That Great Business Show. That is Shirley McKay, Country Director of the UK Department for International Trade at the British Embassy here in Dublin, and she's open for business.
Thank you, Conal.
That Great Business Show.
Looking for the best work-life balance? Why not start your new business life in one of Ireland's beautiful Gaeltacht locations? Údarás na Gaeltachta has created Ireland's biggest digital hub, G-Tech. High-speed broadband just for you. Hosail nóith nachtlat. Your new work-life awaits. Find out more at údarás.ie. You're listening to That Great Business Show.
ThatGreatBusinessShow.com.
If you haven't heard it already, 20 million empty shaving foam cans are sent to landfill just in Ireland every year. That's because they're officially classified as hazardous waste. There's a simple alternative to this terrible pollution. Our show sponsor, De Facto Shave, makes the world's best all-natural shaving oil in Mayo. One small bottle can last a year and is fully recyclable. That's great for your skin, your pocket, and the environment. It's the simplest little change you could ever make to save the planet. DeFactoShave.com.
Backing great women-led businesses on every show.
That Great Business Show.
Now, listen up, Munster. And if you're not in Munster, make sure to tell your pals in the South about a fab initiative from Virgin Media. Just like us, they're backing business in collaboration with Digital Business Ireland, Permanent TSB, Milk Bottle Labs, and the Munster Local Enterprise Offices, or the LEOs as we know them best. It's a cracking €100,000 programme to select and support five businesses across the Munster region with bespoke digital transformation packages. Now, I've looked at the details and I think it might actually be worth more when you hear the details from two of the promoting companies. That's Keith Matthews of Milk Bottle Labs, and he's one. And we'll find out all about them in a second. But I'm also delighted to welcome Mags Brennan. She's head of business banking at Permanent TSB because I'm hearing that Permanent TSB has designs on growing their small but perfectly formed business banking offering. Keith, Mags, welcome to That Great Business Show. Mags, tell us, what's the plan?
What's the plan for business banking in Permanent TSB?
That's what we need to know.
Well, look, I think from our perspective, we've had a fantastic mortgage business for the last 200 years. We've been in the business banking market for the last couple of years, but now we're really going after the market and we really, really want to support businesses to grow their business with funding, with, you know, other services as well. Now, in fairness for us, we have a lot to do ourselves from a digital perspective, but we're on that journey and we're investing heavily in our digital, both for our personal customers and our business customers, with another 50 million added into the pot only in the recent days.
That's on top of another 100 million. So 150 million, that should go
some
way. In fact, Keith would probably be able to take a few quid off you on the way through there. That is a lot of money.
Well, it's important for us to be digitising our business, you know, along with our customers, because that's the way the market has gone. If you look at what's happened from a consumer perspective, even within our own world over the last year since the pandemic, we've had a 30% increase in customers, you know, online, you know, and using online and digital. So that's happening across all the banks at this stage. So we need to get digitised and we need to help business customers, both ours and other banks, to get digitized as well. And that's why we're involved in this initiative.
Keith Matthews, Milk Bottle Labs. Why the name?
It's a long story, Conal.
Keep it short, give us the outline.
It has an agricultural background. I graduated from UCD with a degree in agricultural science.
You've done more pivots, I think, than most anybody I've ever had on the show.
Thanks, Conal. Yeah, I've been, I wouldn't say I've job hopped, but I spent the majority of my career in telecoms and was very lucky to travel around the Caribbean with that. But the name is named after the milk bottle, which is rather large, that appears in a milking parlour that a farmer would have when he's milking cows. And that is as short as I can make it.
So it makes no sense to me, but there you go. Who am I? You know what the offer is, Keith. Talk to me about this offer, because it's for five companies. Let's start at what kind of companies, because I'm going to be asked. People will phone me saying, who can I win? How can I win? But let's start with the types of companies. What are you looking for?
So really what we're looking for is ambitious Irish entrepreneurs in the Munster region.
Now, millions of them down there. Millions.
Absolutely. So a small business is defined as a business in Ireland with less than 50 employees. Now the EU would define it as less than 250. So I think the best way to describe who we're looking for is anybody that wants to be successful online. That could be a business that is already successful and they want to be more successful. It could be a business that has unfortunately gone through maybe some a bad experience as a result of COVID and they have no online presence. So really, Conal, the only restriction is the fact that you have to be based in Munster.
Tell me, because you are the Shopify expert in Ireland, I gather, I have been told. What is Shopify all about? Why is Shopify like the Rolls Royce of the online businesses? Isn't that right?
Yeah, it is. Look, you know, I founded Milkbot Labs back in 2012 from a bedroom in Selbridge. I found the Shopify platform back in 2010, but it actually wasn't available in Ireland. So, you know, the chances are if you've bought your kids' school books off schoolbooks.ie or a CD off Golden Discs or maybe some pottery off Nicholas Moss, that you've actually purchased off a store that we've built. So we're very proud of the Irish businesses that we work with. In terms of Shopify, it is a cloud subscription-based e-commerce platform. To simplify that, it is simply at $29 a month, you can enter your email address and it gives you basically the tools to build a e-commerce store. And the price plans go right up to $299 a month. And once you get into it, once you experience success, once you sell, the platform is very, very clever. It's very easy to scale. And it is very easy to internationalize. And where Milkbot Labs come in, we are officially Shopify's number one partner in Ireland, and we are classified as official Shopify experts, similar to a Microsoft Gold partner or a Cisco Gold partner. And I suppose if you were to use the analogy of a car, Conal, everybody or a lot of people can change a wheel on the car or maybe change the oil. But as the car becomes more complex and as you want it to go faster and as you want it to drive better, you engage with an expert. And Shopify has classified us as the number one expert in Ireland.
You have said that part before, I'd say.
Many times.
Mags, you will be party to the choosing of the winning five companies. What are you looking for?
Oh, we're looking for companies here who we want to see, you know, somebody who's a real leader in business and really trying to do things differently, really wants to get their business online as much as possible, because we see that has been really important for
So what about a quarter or something of businesses still not online?
Yes.
And that's not with an e-commerce. This is just without a website.
Yeah. So according to the CSO, 79% of businesses in Ireland have an online presence. Now, whether that's a Facebook page or an Instagram page, who knows? Yeah. But only less than 40% actually can transact online.
So that's a big opening.
Yeah.
Because then really, Mags, is that anybody, if they have any sense, could be, should be in business overnight when you're sleeping. Your web shop should be doing the business for you if you've got a physical product.
Colin, there's a really good example, you know, which we all know really well, which is Gin Plus Coffee. And the Two Niles are
We love them.
Yes. Well, I think we've all been involved in some shape or form with Niall and his business. And, you know, he's now got another Niall involved now.
Tell the world, because I only saw
Niall
that by
Horn.
Chance. Niall
so,
Horn,
you know, any
is
One
now
Direction
their brand
fan.
Ambassador, isn't
yes,
he? Yeah,
exactly, which is fantastic. But look at what they did, you know. So they went online with the help of Milkbottle Labs, who, you know, put a really good website in place for them at the very start. You plugged them on a business show a couple of times, and we actually helped fund them. So, you know, while actually having an online presence really important, you also need to be considering the supply chain and how you work that and how you fund your stock that you're going to require, because you're going to find that the stock requirement and the funding for that's going to go up overnight. So, in fairness to Niall and his business, if you were looking for the poster business here, and they're only a couple of years old, remember, Colin, they're only a couple of years old.
I think we interviewed them shortly after they launched.
Yeah.
So,
you know, so it's a brilliant business.
Them, yeah.
I think we're all, you know, I buy online off them. I know.
I thought you were going to just say, I buy online. I was going to say,
No.
I think we do. All day. We all should anyway.
Yeah. But they've also gone outside Ireland now. So they're not just within.
And that is the whole point, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Why? I won't say bother. You start here. If I said it here a million times, I'll say it 1 million and 1 times, 6 million, 8 billion. It's just massive off the island.
Exactly.
1,600 times bigger outside. It's a no-brainer.
Yeah, and they're seeing that growth, which is brilliant to see, you know, in an Irish company that only was set up a couple of years ago. So, and you know, what's fueled their growth is online, digital.
Mags, you make a very good point. Conal, traditionally with e-commerce and online systems, the shipping of the product was always the problem. We built a store many years ago down in County Westmeath where the owner stripped four-seater Cessna airplanes. After the recession, there was a big volume of second-hand airplanes. And his first order on the Shopify store came from Mexico, and it was the wing of a four-seater Cessna. And he did not know how he was going to ship it. It was the name of the company is WF Aviation down in Westmeath.
I would love to have them on if they hear this. Please come on. I love those stories.
Absolutely. Yeah. So he called DHL, and he didn't realize that DHL actually had a kind of a shipping awkward pieces section, and the wing was shipped. You know, we work with Susan and Nicholas Moss down in Kilkenny. Wonderful company, a great brand. They must employ over 50 people down there, and they ship pottery all over the world, and America is a massive part of their business. Now, if you asked us 10 years ago, would they think that they could be shipping to America with very little damage? No way, you would have thought. So there is
also
very...
remember Red Sky Europe down in Kilkenny.
Yeah. I know them well,
Because they've been on the show with us as well. Just when I think of the story, which I'd never heard before about the Cessna wing, there was a fabulous, and there still is obviously online, a Frank Kelly skit about a phone call that he gets, and it's a fella looking for a part for a Boeing jet engine, and he's like a used car salesman. It's like, oh, I got one of those out the back, like, and it's well worth checking out. Frank Kelly, RIP, but a great piece of comedy. Sorry, this is odd podcast where I just think of random things.
So e-commerce has evolved significantly in the last, especially in the last couple of years. The way I see it, you know, we're inside about 150 Shopify stores every year, and there's a number of trends. One of the trends is that pick up and collect is, if you're a retail store, you need pick up and collect. We install that probably into 5 stores, in some cases every month. And Shopify have recently released data based on their own POS system. So in Shopify, you can also download an app to an iPad and turn it into a till system. And they've recently released stats from last year based on all of their stores with point of sale, Shopify POS. And they're telling us that if you have click and collect in your store and people can purchase online and then book a time to pick it up, the average order value in some cases rises by 25%. So even though the customer has a relationship with the physical store and they want to go into the physical store, if they purchase online, for some reason, mentally, they buy more. So it's changing very, very quickly, and COVID has resulted in that significant change.
And the joy of this initiative by Virgin Media, which is called Backing Business, is that 5 companies are going to be handheld right through. What are you guys at Permanent TSB going to do for them?
So for any of these companies, if they want advice on how to fund their supply chain, we're there. We're there for them anyway, okay? But, you know, look, come and chat to us. We'll be expecting them to chat to us about it because we'd love to help them. We've done it before. We've done it with Gym Plus Coffee, possibly when other banks wouldn't. So we're experienced.
That's an interesting comment now. That would be nice to explore. Are you a little bit more, I won't say aggressive, a little bit more experimental or something?
Well, it's not even experimental because I have to be really careful. We just think outside the box a little bit. So,
okay, that's nice thing to hear.
Well, when we're talking to customers, you know, they want to get a quick yes or a quick no. But I'm kind of in the zone of, it might be no, we can't do that, but we could do this instead. So we're trying to be solution focused as opposed to we definitely can't do that. So we need to come with, you know, something that might help a business customer. And in fairness, all the banks need to be in that space over the next 6 to 9 months as we come out of the pandemic and we're dealing with some of the issues that it's, you know, how that's impacted some of the businesses that are out there currently, around getting them set back up again and getting them working within the economy again.
And I was talking to Anna Maria Barry at Virgin Media, and that is why, when I asked her why Munster, she said, according to their research, it looks like Munster was the hardest hit. I have no knowledge as to which was or who is, but they say it's Munster. That's why they're going to trial this in Munster.
Why not, Colin?
Oh, well, why not?
We always do things, course, in Dublin.
But you also have a background down in Cork. You were big in the business banking in Cork, weren't you?
Yeah, can you not hear my Cork accent?
Oh, yeah. Listen, we're going to run out of time. So, Keith, can I just ask you to pre-see what are the joyful things that people will win on this? 5 companies, any size, any shape, any make, any sector. size, they have to be small, but I mean, not tiny.
No.
I mean, they can be tiny, but we, what will they win?
So we will build the five winners a best-in-class Shopify store. Technically it's worth 10,000 euros in value, but we will build a scalable platform for them. And by the end of the prize, it will be worth well
I think you told me off air that it could be to the value of maybe 35,000.
If the winner is willing to put some effort in, we can absolutely push it to that. There's no doubt about that.
That is fantastic. I mean, that's why I said that they were being conservative with the price fund here, because 5 times 35 is already quids in and way ahead. What else is on offer?
So obviously, as Mags pointed out, help and assistance from Permanent TSB, which is a grateful sponsor. Virgin Media are a wonderful wonderful sponsor as well, and they will provide obviously all the media coverage and exposure to the winners, and also a year's free broadband access. And ultimately, for the winner, they will walk out with a wonderful online store and backing from a financial institution and some really, really good media coverage.
And the Leos, each and every Leo is involved in this, and that's really nice to hear. And you're going to get one thing which you cannot really put a price on: mentorship.
Yes,
yes.
Get the right mentor and you are a made man or a made woman. It's just unbelievable, the numbers of people that we've had on. And there's, what else?
And also,
another point, Keith?
Yeah, absolutely, Conal. I really should have mentioned Lorraine Higgins' name at the top. Lorraine runs Digital Business Ireland, so there's a 3 years membership with that organisation.
And that is perfect for networking again.
Absolutely perfect. It's a perfect fit for an online entrepreneur.
Yeah. Looks good to me. When is the closing date? That's something I haven't written down here. Does anybody know what it is?
Yeah, closing date is May the 18th.
Did you look at a note?
I did.
Okay, May 18th, you know it there. And just what do they have to apply? Just go online, is it? Mags, do you know what they have to do? This is great. This is fantastic because this is so fresh. That it's a work in progress, I think. Do we call that
basically
WIP?
They apply and they tell their story.
Okay.
And they make their pitch.
Easy peasy.
It's that simple. We're not trying to make this difficult at all for them. Okay. So what we're trying to do is, you know, encourage, you know, lots of small businesses to get involved in this, because you know what, we're starting in Munster, but if this works, you know, where will we be next? We might come to Dublin then.
You are biased. Come here to me. I made you listen to the podcast, so you know what happens next.
Yeah.
Who would you hire in a heartbeat?
Jack Charlton.
Why Jack Charlton?
It's very simple. We are a small, very, very small business bank at the moment, and I want to be a big business bank. So it's all around having somebody on my team who will help me put the other banks under pressure.
Ah, that just brings it. That is so evocative, isn't it? Yeah. I can hear the music. It's just starting again. Keith, who would you hire in a heartbeat?
Well, Conal, without exaggeration, 60 to 70% of the inbound queries that we get at Milkbottle Labs are from ambitious female entrepreneurs.
Great.
And we work with Una O'Hagan, who's the managing director of Mars Pharmacy.
Yeah.
And Una is a wonderfully positive, energetic, successful early adopter of technology and has nailed the e-commerce experience well before many other e-commerce entrepreneurs. And she also runs a wonderful independently owned pharmacy chain, you know, in a world where the larger chains are very strong. So, Una, I would hire you tomorrow.
Well, that's lovely to hear, because I'm going to use that as a platform to say, Una, why don't you come on to That Great Business Show? Because we love female entrepreneurs. We try, as you may know, to have a 50-50 mix, which we have exceeded actually at this stage. So I'm delighted about that.
She's a brilliant business, in fairness to her.
Yeah.
I've come across her.
Brilliant.
That is it. Keith Matthews of Milkbottle Labs and Mags Brennan of Permanent TSB Business Banking. Thank you so much for joining us on That Great Business Show. And we will post all the details that we have up on social media, LinkedIn. Follow us on LinkedIn. Easiest thing in the world to do. Thank you both.
Thank you, Conal.
Looking for the best work-life balance? Why not start your new business life in one of Ireland's beautiful Gaeltacht locations? Údarás na Gaeltachta has created Ireland's biggest digital hub, G-Tech. High-speed broadband just for you. Hosail Noah Nachtlat. Your new work-life awaits. Find out more at údarás.ie.
Subscribe today to That Great Business Show on your favourite podcast platform, including Apple, and Spotify.
That Great Business Show is growing a worldwide audience, from VCs in the City of London to colleagues in Connecticut, USA, and Cape Town, South Africa, all who have an interest in Irish businesses. If you're one of those overseas listeners, Tom Murphy, founder of our sponsor company De Facto Shaving Oil, wants to talk to you. He's looking for high energy distributors for De Facto anywhere and everywhere in the world. Contact him on tom@pamex.ie and I promise he'll be straight back to you. Now, it's wise sometimes to be skeptical, if not cynical, when it comes to business. Why? Oh, why, for example, has no one simplified something so easy as to which health insurance cover to buy? There are 320 plus choices in the Irish market. Surely it couldn't be that difficult for someone to try to sort out the issue and stop trying to confuse the consumer. Now, we like people who try to put order on confusion, bring light to darkness, or less prosaically, cut the bull. Barbara Sheehan is founder of Healthcare Compare, hcc.ie, an online toolkit that brings those 320 down to about 3 and helps find the insurance package that is right for you. Welcome to That Great Business Show, Barbara.
Hi, Conor. Thank you, and thanks for having me on.
Now, I want some straight answers.
Okay.
Is it done to confuse? 320 offers, none of them equal, but the tweaks may be minor. What's that all about? That's just trying to confuse, isn't it?
Well, there are definitely a huge number of plans available on the market. Really, obviously, there is no one plan fits all, and I'll say that straight away. So there is need to have more than certainly one or two plans on the market. But yes, there is many, many, many outdated plans that have been on the market for years and years and years, and therefore have been subject to multiple price increases and that we would never recommend to
anyone. Why are they just not scrapped?
This is the problem. And, you know, there are plans scrapped sometimes, but possibly because there may be some small benefits on that, or, you know, there might be plans with a few more physio than a more recent updated version of this plan that some people might avail of. And, you know, it's very, very minimal the amount of people that will benefit from those extra visits, though. And that's what you have to...
Now, we try to do business warts and all. So I'm going to ask you one hard question.
Okay.
You still recommend 3 out of the 320 by the time when you define what your exact requirements are. Why will you not do as any good algorithm would do? Just give me the one, the only one I want to know.
Well, we do. We give one level of cover, but we give one from each provider. And the reason we do that is some people may be with VHI or Laya or Irish Life Health for years and years and had a great relationship with them, and they may just want to stay. And that's
what's a great relationship. You only talk to them when you're sick, and you don't really, I mean, unless you're completely bats, you don't have a relationship with them.
Oh, I fully agree with this. They're like, people do think that they are, you know, that they get a bonus or something by staying with the same provider for years. They don't. They don't get any penalties for switching providers as long as they're not changing cover too much. So it is just a preference. And I see it with particularly older people, to be honest, that are with VHI for years and years. And they just, and you know what? That's their choice and you have to leave it with them. And that's why we give one from each provider and we just talk about the differences then, because each of the providers have member benefits that will differ.
On your hcc.ie, that should make a great ad for you, hcc.ie.
Come up with a little jingle, yeah.
Is that, I presume younger people aren't even interested in the 3, are they? I mean, it makes no sense to me. Yeah. I would just want the one.
Well, this is the importance of talking to a broker as well. Okay, so it's the problem.
No, I don't want to talk to a broker. When I use my car insurance people, I just don't. They do the same thing to me.
Yeah.
I have to fill out the form and then they ring me. So I could have rung them in the first instance.
But the problem is, and specifically with health insurance, is there are so many aspects of cover. It's really not as simple, to be honest, as looking at car insurance and things that will be covered. When it comes to health insurance, you've day-to-day, you've scan coverage, you've hospitals, plans are covered in plans cover selected public and private hospitals only. So if you are just looking at it and you're happy to pick out one online, and then it comes to a claim and you're not covered, you've only yourself to blame. You know, whereas when you're speaking to a broker, they will explain it. Like, obviously, I work in it.
day in, day out.
And if it goes wrong, you won't take the blame.
So, well, it will be on us if we've misadvised. But the problem is, the good thing is that we don't misadvise and we'll put it, like, place it in black and white as to what's on the plan and what's not on the plan.
On episode 32, that was the last episode, we announced the end of COVID and we had a Christmas happiness jingle and all the rest. So hoping that COVID is approaching at its end, not before time. But during COVID, was there a big change in how you were looking at the insurance, the health insurance market?
So the health insurance market, it's funny, it did change throughout COVID slightly in that obviously the private hospitals were taken over for a while by the government. So they took them over for a while. So each of the providers did offer rebates to members where they either got checks or money back into their bank account to kind of offset that. Obviously,
nothing. That explains why I got 65 quid the other day.
There you go.
Thank you.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, not thank you.
Oh, you can thank me. Provider. It's fine. So, yeah.
But so if the options were not there,
yeah,
did that simplify again in people's minds? Are they now looking for a simpler quote?
So no, because it's reverse now. You know, private hospitals are now back open. But something that was changed as well throughout it and what we're seeing now is that obviously because all of the minor kind of procedures were being cancelled at public hospitals, unfortunately the waiting list backlog is just, it's just surged massively, the waiting list. So now more people are trying to get back on the market and take out health insurance to avoid these waiting lists. So last year, actually, there was an increase, an extra 36,000 people took out private health insurance last year. And that's obviously because of COVID, essentially. So, yeah.
When you say because of, is that because were they more health aware?
I think definitely health is on the forefront of everybody's mind, but it's also, I think people know that the public hospitals were already overrun and the waiting lists were already huge. So what are they going to be like now in the future? It's only unfortunately going to probably get worse.
I probably will be an even older man by the time this happens, but the government is yet again talking of trying to get the health system and health service to be of one nature, of one level, one tier. Mm. Is that going to happen?
I'm in my early 30s and I don't see myself being put out of a job, I'll put it that way. Okay. In the next 30 years, I don't. It would be wonderful, but I don't see it happening, unfortunately.
Do companies typically pay for health insurance anymore?
So, yeah, certain industries definitely do. So you have the likes of tech industries, aviation. They would all be very, very competitive in terms of the benefits that they offer.
The rich ones.
But I think also health insurance, it says a lot about a company when they do pay for health insurance for their employees, because at the end of the day, it's caring for them and making sure that they're, you know, sorted if they do get sick. There are different ways that you can pay for a health insurance policy. So you can either do employee only, you can do employee and family, you can do company paid, partial company paid, you can do salary deduction, which means you are not actually paying anything as a business owner, but you're still giving an employee a benefit because they may be then entitled to less waiting periods or a reduction in premiums because it's a corporate scheme. So yeah, it's definitely worth considering if you're a business.
Are there financial benefits for a business owner to offer health insurance to the employee besides just being a nice employer and maybe attracting good talent?
Yeah, mainly it would be the talent, but it's also you see things like the benefits that are available. So a lot of the plans will have things like Healthy Minds, which are employee assistant programs, which a lot of companies would take out anyway, you know, even if they don't have a health insurance scheme in place.
Is that for mental health?
It is for mental health, yeah. And
what's the usage? Have you any ideas of usages of those? I hear them advertised. I think they're a brilliant idea.
Yeah.
But I have no sense at all as to whether they are being used. We're big, big, big advocates of mental health That Great Business Show.
Yeah, so it depends. Like, obviously, it depends on the size of the company. We would never get exact figures or anything like that or details. It's completely confidential. Both the employer and obviously us would have no idea who has used it. But the topics they cover, it doesn't have to be work-related. It can be stress, anxiety, mental health, anything like that. So certainly throughout COVID, they said that there was a surge in numbers that were availing of those things as well, as well as your digital doctor. So you have things like GP Live, digital doctors, where you can do a FaceTime with the GP and they'll fax a prescription to a pharmacy of your
choice.
And
that is the future.
Absolutely, yeah.
And you're telling me that still giving me three options on hcc.ie is the future. No, it's not. I'm telling you now, make it one option and I'll use it immediately. Yeah. Have you got competitors in the market with the digital offering that you have?
There's, as far as I'm aware, no, not for the digital. I think we are the most advanced health insurance comparison website, as far as I know. We do a lot of blog posts around topics as well. But as I said, we do see the importance of talking to people. So we really don't recommend just doing it online.
Now, here's the hard bits for you is who is the best, what is the best cover, top and bottom? And do name them. I'm not going to let you out the door unless you don't, unless you don't name them.
But you see, to be honest, it shows that people don't understand it because...
I don't understand
No, but
it.
You're asking me what the best cover is without me having any knowledge of your background, about your medical history, about, you know, you need
I'm
to
I'm a wonderful
look.
Human being and I, pay my, and I pay my taxes.
No, but this is the thing. It's, you know, there... People,
I'm not asking for me, but is there a top and a bottom provider?
Three providers will have each of the five levels and
so
five
unfortunately,
plans.
You have to grind through it. So and what about
we'll help you.
And there's a government website, isn't there, as well? Where
there's
you
the HIA, and the HIA is fantastic if you know what you're doing, to be honest, right? So if you, and this is the thing, like people can go in and try and search through the HIA. If you don't know the plans...
How could you know the plans?
But this is the thing, because there's so many of them in it. So while the HIA is absolutely fantastic, I do think you have to have a certain knowledge of the industry to try and understand it.
You sent me through some briefing notes, and one of the things that caught my attention was something about the timing of when to buy, the best time it is to purchase health insurance.
Yeah.
Is there a good time?
So this is the question that comes up all the time. So people say, oh, you know, is it, when's too late or is it ever too late? Firstly, it's not, but I get asked, should children be insured? They really should always. And I always do say this, and I kind of always use an example of a client we had whose daughter was diagnosed with scoliosis. And people think, oh, my child won't have anything wrong with them. You know, there's public hospitals, they'll be fine. So it is very important. But the next kind of step, which is always important to try and get in before, is before you've turned 35. Okay, so there was a thing called Lifetime Community Rating introduced in May 2015 that anybody aged 35 or over that doesn't have health insurance or hasn't had health insurance before has a 2% loading per year for every year they're over 35.
Okay, yeah. So therefore, if you are a day before 35, start thinking about it.
Exactly, okay. Exactly, yeah.
And... is there a good time of the year or is that completely irrelevant? Does it matter a darn? No, it doesn't.
It doesn't. It really doesn't. But unfortunately, it just falls. It's when the price increases are. So like Leia had a price increase on the 1st of January, VHI 1st of April, Irish Life Health 1st of May. And,
funny that,
and now
isn't it?
Leia have another one on the 1st of June. So it depends on you know, when you're
starting.
Funny
how they all go up at the same time.
Yeah.
No, we won't go into that because I want to stay out of the courts. Come here to me. Hire in a heartbeat. Who would you hire in a heartbeat?
Yeah, I was thinking about this when you asked, and I would have to go with Jacinda Ardern. Isn't that how you pronounce it?
I don't know. Who is she?
You've never heard of Jacinda Ardern? You have. The Prime Minister of New Zealand.
Oh, sorry. Do you know what? I'm so bad is that people say these names and I think some actress or actor or something like that.
Yeah.
No. I do know her. Yeah, of course. She's brilliant.
I think she's absolutely fantastic. Yeah, she's a great female role model. She's brilliant. Her decisiveness of just getting things done between
locking
COVID
down
and
in
everything.
New Zealand in the right time and all the rest. Yeah.
Yeah, I think she's fantastic.
So if she gets on to us, where will we send her to? To hcc.ie. Is that where you want everybody to on the listen to the podcast to go?
That's it. Yeah. Or you can email me directly, barbara@hcc.ie.
And it's the old fashioned Barbara, B-A-R-B-A-R-A.
Yeah.
Isn't
Is there a new fashion Barbara?
Well, there's a Barbara. You see, you could be Askoilge.
Oh, B-A-I-R-B-R-A.
And there's also Barbara, which is, I think I've seen as B-A-R-B-R-A.
Is that a thing? I always just thought people were misspelling my name. There you go.
Well, they were misspelling yours, but maybe not theirs. That is Barbara. Ba-ba-ba-ba. Yeah, we'll go there. Barbara Sheehan. The founder of hcc.ie. Use her, find out if she's any good, and if she's brilliant, tell us, and if she's not, tell her, please, because that is it from the That Great Business Show. And thanks very much for joining us, Barbara.
Thanks.
That is it from episode 33, Sound Man Today. Peter Rice was today's audio engineer. See the way I said audio? Kind of, it's a bit of Latin creeping in there. This week's shout outs are for John O'Loughlin at the British Embassy, who set up Shirley McKay for us. Anna Maria Barry at Virgin Media sent us Keith Matthews and Mags Brennan. And finally, Valerie O'Reilly suggested Barbara Sheehan's company to us. Buichas more to you all. If you or your company would like to be featured on That Great Business Show, send your detail to us via the website thatgreatbusinessshow.com. And if you'd like to advertise on Ireland's best business podcast, email producer at thatgreatbusinessshow.com and we will talk to you. Finally, our thanks to our sponsor, De Facto Shave. Try their world's best shaving oil for just a week and you'll be a convert. For men and women, it leaves skin soft, smooth and nick-free. Try it, you'll like it, defactoshave.com. So from me, Conal O'Moran, we will talk again next week on That Great Business Show. Slán tamall.